Hello, and welcome to Queering Eve, a spoiler-free-ish podcast about the TV show Killing Eve, made by some queers. Hi, I'm Tamara, and I'm the one who attended an online concert for the first time, and it turns out that online concerts are actually fun and kind of feel like you're attending a concert. Uh-huh. So now I'm sad that I didn't go to any before.
Oh, what?
What concert?
It was a K-pop concert.
Awesome. Okay, yeah, that sounds fun. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Nina, and I'm the one who has finally cracked the code on how to wake up and get out of bed in the morning, which is to have a cat and teach them to be fed at a specific time. And for me, it's 10 past 7. I'm still working on it because currently today she thought it was at 5 past 7, which is incorrect. I'm not ready then. but yeah, I'm working on it and so far it's been going good.
Hi, I'm Naya, and I'm the one who is teaching our cat that she can play with my feet when I'm in bed, but only through the covers. Because if she just bites my feet, my bare feet, that hurts. And she does not realize this because she is a cat.
Okay, Killing Eve, huh?
Yes, Killing Eve. So we are at season 3, episode 8, titled Are You Leading or Am I? The episode was directed by our bestie Damon Thomas and written by Suzanne Heathcote and Laura Neal, which is great since Laura Neal is going to be leading the next season.
Yeah, and Suzanne led this one.
Yes. And hopefully some of the themes that happened in this episode will be explored further in season 4. Okie dokie. For the first scene of this episode, we are meeting Villanelle and Carolyn, who are meeting in a title card, Royal Albert Hall, London. The title cards in this episode are subpar.
They are very specific locations in London, which is our least favorite bit.
Yes.
When exactly. It could have always just been the UK.
Mm-hmm. It never says the UK.
I know.
Never.
I'm upset.
How are we supposed to know where London is?
Truly.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Maybe we're in America. Who knows? There's like towns called London in America.
Is it also in America? Because I know that it's in Canada.
There's a London in Slovenia, so of course there's one in America.
Okie dokie, so what are Villanelle and Carolyn doing? Villanelle wanted to meet, and because Carolyn already had the tickets, she thought that this would be a perfect place.
She got the tickets yonks ago.
Yes, exactly, yonks ago.
I love that expression. I've never heard it.
Anyway, the reason Villanelle wanted to meet is because she wants to know what the canteen's like at MI6 and not in the Royal Albert Hall, London, which Carolyn graciously provides info on. It is heavily lasagna-based, but sometimes they expand into cannelloni.
Which is pretty good, and Villanelle agrees.
Yeah. But what Villanelle actually wants is a job with MI6.
I'm sorry, I'm so annoyed because it's like, yes, last episode we decided that the thing that Carolyn told Villanelle at the prison is like she was offering her a job. We learned this last episode just like offhandedly, and now in this episode it's coming back and she is gonna take that job that was offered to her ages ago.
Yonks ago.
Probably like many yonks ago. I don't like it.
Yeah, no, it's bad.
Well, luckily, same as us, Carolyn also doesn't like this idea. Doesn't know what Villanelle could possibly do for MI6. Kill people. And she also really needs to hear the end of the first movement of Mahler's 10th. And I think it's hilarious that they're gonna let her in while the people are playing on stage. I don't know how things work in the Royal Albert Hall, but everywhere else I've been, you cannot go in after they start playing.
Yeah, I agree.
She has power.
So, right off the bat, Caroline is asking Villanelle about Hélène and how they're getting along and blah blah. And do we know why or how Caroline even knows Hélène? Or that Villanelle is working with Hélène? Like, does Caroline just know everything that's going on in the 12 and...
Trying to think if Eve told her at one point, because Eve told her that Villanelle got promoted. But I'm not sure if Eve knows about Hélène.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's very odd to me how, like, again, up until this point, the 12 were this, like, mysterious bunch. We didn't know anything about them. And then in this episode, everyone's just talking about Hélène, like, it's no big deal. It was supposed to be such a mysterious thing, and now, yeah, we're just talking about her.
I'm still not even convinced Hélène is one of the 12.
I don't know.
I don't have an opinion on that. I just find it a little bit annoying how on this show, like, time and time again, it's like something is a huge mystery that no one knows. Mm-hmm. And then when one character finds out about it, suddenly everyone knows about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, it's never actually a big deal.
Yeah, the reveal is very underwhelming. Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe we're just not smart enough to understand the plot.
Yes, yes, I'm sure that's it. Yeah, that's a bad side of the
show. That's not it.
A good side is the backgrounds of the scenes. I really liked the location for this talk. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a good idea.
I'm nodding.
Caroline had. I enjoyed, like, the aesthetics of it, and then also the music and how it continues playing when we go to the next scene for a bit. I thought that was good. Like, this is what the show is really good at.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Back to their conversation. Villanelle doesn't want to kill for MI6, but she wants to do spy stuff. Fake mustache, codes, information. Which I love that this is what she thinks spy stuff is. And I love that she describes it as looking for a new challenge. That's just that job interview speak. But sadly, that's like the only part of the job interview that she nails.
Yeah, Caroline is very mean to her.
Yeah.
I did think about how Caroline demanded information on who killed Kenny and also Mo. And then when Villanelle was unable to provide this information on the spot, she was like, see, you aren't good at this job that you're offering. I mean, how is she gonna get this information in this 1 second that she has to answer? You should at least give her one of those tasks that people get before they are accepted to a job, you know? Find out who killed Mo. And then, if she can't provide, then you can be smart about it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move on. Let's go to a hospital where Constantine is talking to a nurse and the nurse is taking none of his shit. Basically, Constantine wants to be discharged and the nurse is like, good luck with that. But Constantine decides to discharge himself, which is something you can do even if they say no.
But isn't it something you do by telling your doctors that that's what you're doing?
Yeah, yeah.
He just exactly. leaves. I don't think what he's doing is discharging himself.
He leaves, yeah. But I do like that when he does that, like the guitar Killing Eve music plays. I think it's fun.
But before he actually leaves, he goes to visit Dasha, who is apparently now in a different room. Anyway... we learn the big, big secret of what happened with Villanelle and Dasha yonks ago, which is that Dasha tried to kill Villanelle, which is like, I feel like we kind of already got that, but I don't know. But again, they were saying this like, oh, it's such a big secret what happened between them. And then it's just like the same thing that happens to them all the time. One of them almost killed another.
Yeah. Yeah, there's that. And also, in the previous episode, we were talking about how we don't really get the dynamic between Villanelle and Dasha, because, like, we never really find out what's up with them. And then in this episode, we do kind of find that out, but it's still not well done, because if this were a big reveal, then up to this point, there should have been something, like, leading up to it, not just, like, pretending, no, this is just where we're at, and then, like, this comes out of nowhere.
And also, would be good to get, like, literally any more information on that.
Actually, any more information. Like, just give us a location or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. We just learned that it happened, not why. No, we do learn why.
Yeah.
Because Dasha says that she just wanted them to know that Villanelle wasn't ready. So I guess what she was doing, the 12 were sending out Villanelle to start working, and Dasha thought that they shouldn't have yet, and that's why she tried to kill her. So I guess we do learn about it, but it's kind of...
I don't know, that's not enough for me. It feels like the skeleton of the story, but none of the meat. Anyway, I don't care much about this. No, what I do like, though, is... the juxtaposition of, like, Constantine being lazy and Dasha being ambitious. I don't know. I just liked hearing about, like, this made Dasha seem like a more interesting character to me, the way she never really was. It was like, could have been something there.
I can see that, but I also think it's silly that Dasha accuses Constantine of infecting Villanelle with his lack of ambition, because how is Villanelle less ambitious than Dasha?
I think she's not ambitious in a way that she doesn't want to put effort into her ambitions, you know?
But also I think her goals are motivated by boredom and not by, like, wanting to achieve something.
That is also true. Also, Dasha says that... The West made Constantine soft, which I thought was funny.
When they say things like that, it just reminds me of the fact that they're supposed to both be from Russia and yet they're talking in English.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
I had the biggest problem with this in the last episode when Constantine was talking to the mental health worker at Irina's detention center. That one really irked me.
Oh, that was terrible. Yeah, I feel like they're so inconsistent with this, because they, like, Jodie Comer does talk in foreign languages and some other people talk in foreign languages. But when this guy who plays Constantine was supposed to, like, say two sentences in Russian, suddenly it's a problem.
Well, because he's so bad at it. So they're just like, let's not even go there.
I hope that... The writers are regretting their decision to make half the cast be from Russia and cast no Russians in any roles. Because there's not really any very important reason for everyone to be from Russia.
Oh, yeah,
I think there's no very important reason not to cast Russians.
Both true. Okay, so that was some discourse. Now back to the episode.
Yeah, where were we?
Yeah. So then Constantine does something and Dasha dies, and it is unclear whether he killed her or it just happened to happen at the same time.
I think he just, like, makes her angry, and because she's all weak, then that kills her. That's how I understood it.
Yeah, it was vague. And she also talks about how she wishes her son was there, which... is because we just found out about her son in the last episode, so of course he has to be mentioned in this episode.
So many things were mentioned in the previous episode so that they could be mentioned in this one again. Not great.
Let's go to a better scene.
Yeah.
Let's go to an amazing scene. We are on a dance floor in a club that's meant for ballroom dancing, but for fun.
It's a really nice place. It looks like it's kind of like underground. But, like,
literally not.
But also kind of that. Like, it kind of looks like one of those, like, you know, 20s speakeasies where They had to hide the alcohol, but not that, because it's just a bunch of old people dancing. I love it. Would want to go there.
Yes. And Villanelle is sitting at one of the tables watching the people dance. And Eve shows up looking for Villanelle because they agreed to meet in this place.
It's a date!
And they
it's
both,
a date!
Yeah. And they each ask the other one how they are doing. And both of them just respond by, like, doing some face acting, which I love.
Yep. They just shake their heads and make a sound.
It's good. It's good. Meant to be.
Anyway, they do some small talk, as you do when you're on a date.
Small talk, where you killed your first person in this country.
Yes, yes. Villanelle explains that they are meeting here because it's a special place to her, because she killed her first person in the UK here, and it was a police officer.
A cab. And then there's like this conversation about like how... about the past, and Eve says that the past is all she thinks about, which makes no sense to me.
No. Yeah. No, me neither. Which parts of her past does she ever think about?
It just sounded like a nice thing, like a romantic, would be nice in a book kind of thing to say, but makes no sense for these characters, this story, nothing.
I think this is true is if what she means is that she keeps replaying her scenes with Villanelle in her head.
Which, yeah. Same.
And that she sometimes thinks about Kenny.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And then an old man comes up to them and tells them that it would be great if they went dancing, because that's what this place is for. And they welcome everyone, rhythm or no rhythm, which was so cute, so adorable. And then Eve is the one who decides that, yes, actually, they should be doing this. They should be dancing because it's good to try new things. And just before we move on to the next part of this scene, I know that our rule is that we don't talk about the outfits before Uti, but this time I'm going to break my own rule because I need to point out that the pattern of Villanelle's suit is rainbows.
Yeah.
She's dressed in rainbows.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, because of the way it's cut and on the front, it doesn't really look like rainbows. Yeah. But if you look closely, it's actually rainbows. It's
good.
Just not exactly rainbow colors, but it's rainbows. So anyway, what I'm getting at is that this scene is gay.
I think I'm gonna be bold here and say that it would have been gay even without that.
It would have, but I'm just liking that the costuming department was in on what was going on here.
Heck yeah.
And now they are dancing.
They dance. They close their eyes. They get close one another.
At first, they're a bit awkward and they're bumping into each other and stuff. And then we get the line that is the title of the episode, which is one of them saying, "Are you leading or am I?" And the other one saying, "I have no idea." And this, again, is like a very on-the-nose metaphor for their entire relationship. But in this case, I like it. Mm. I like
this.
Oh,
yeah. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing.
It's good.
And then they get into the groove. They figure out how to dance with each other.
Which is slow dancing.
Dance, and they have their eyes closed. And they, like, get closer to one another. And it's lovely.
I actually don't know in what order things are happening. Because at one point, also, Villanelle is pointing at an older couple. Mm-hmm. They're doing the very showcasey dancing. And she asks Eve if she still wants to be that. And it's a fascinating conversation because what I gathered was that Villanelle was asking Eve, do you still want to be this proper heterosexual person all your life?
Mm-hmm. It just goes way over Eve's head.
Yeah, and Eve is just like, assuming that Villanelle is asking her if she wants to grow old with her, which is insane.
Yep.
It's so good. And she really considers the possibility, which is, I think, truly at this point, we have to assume that Eve is, at least for this moment, over with her gay panic and knows that she's in love with Villanelle and has considered growing old with her. And there are all these reasons why she thinks it wouldn't work.
Yeah, she does say not anymore, as if she considered growing old with Villanelle before.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, she considered it, but she says that they'd never make it that long because they would consume each other before they got old. And that sounds kind of nice to Villanelle.
I love that.
Yeah.
I want it for them.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like the kind of love that both of them would be into.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Like, this is why they are into each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they are dancing and it's just very romantic. They are smelling each other's hair and stuff.
And then Villanelle decides to kill the mood by saying, "I've killed so many people, Eve," which was just so stupid. Why did they put that line there? Come
Eve,
on.
Did you know? Did you know that I'm a killer, Eve? Come on. I don't think you have ever like asked me about this.
So this is like one of the reasons, I think, why when first watching this season, I thought that Villanelle wants to stop killing because she thinks killing is bad suddenly instead of because she's bored by it.
Yeah.
I don't even want to discuss this because it's dumb.
I think that's fair.
Not because I'm not interested in your takes. I'm just think that whatever we come up with is just gonna be about how we wish this show would have actually handled it, because the show did not handle it. And we're just doing them a favor by trying to make it good.
I agree. Let's move on.
Cool. Okay, and then Villanelle spots Rianne, who has entered the scene, and tells Eve in a very romantic way that she needs to go. Like, there is a line that she says, just, "Go, Eve, go." It's just very romantic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she gives Eve the note that she got from Constantine's pocket.
Yes.
So Eve, slightly confused, leaves, and Rianne comes up to Villanelle to give her the message that Hélène wants to talk to her. I don't know why they had to send Rianne to say this. I think Villanelle has a phone, but whatever.
There was no reception because she's underground.
Yeah, good point. They obviously knew this, yeah. And Villanelle, in her usual fashion, interprets Rianne's presence as Rianne is in love with her and wants to dance.
Does she, or is she just being annoying?
Being annoying.
Of course she's just being annoying, but...
Yeah, she like dips Rianne. It's fun.
Rianne does not appreciate this.
Nope.
So then we move with both of them to an underground station where Villanelle does her iconic heel walk. It's iconic to me. I don't know about you.
Underground station, as in it's below the ground or metaphorically? it's a good walk.
I enjoy how Villanelle is just being an asshole and is like, "Talk me through your outfit." That was a great line.
My favorite part of this is that I think Rianne's style isn't that far off from Eve's.
Oh my god, it's true. Mm. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Also, I love it that Rianne is like, "I like to be comfortable." And Villanelle is like, "Why?"
God, Villanelle is so annoying.
Yeah.
And then, God, I wrote down that Rianne has a little tantrum, but I feel like Villanelle was also having a little tantrum before that.
Yes,
because
Villanelle's just jumping.
She jumps, then she talks about how they're two trained killers, but if they're told to jump, they will just jump, blah, blah. And Rianne is like, individuality is overrated, sheep are happier than wolves. then Villanelle just beats her up.
Yeah. So when Villanelle says, isn't it funny that we are ruthless killers, but when they say we jump, we jump. If they went for this angle this whole season, and that's why Villanelle wanted to get away from the 12, that I would have liked that.
That's so true.
If like her goal was actually to be an independent serial killer or something like that, you know?
Yes.
I feel like even though that isn't a part of her personality that we saw in season one, I could have bought this.
Yeah. That is an existential crisis that I would find much more intriguing to watch.
Mm. Yeah. So why not go there? Why instead make it like a crisis of morals or whatever?
I don't know, man.
And then bring this up in the last minute and then not discuss it at all. Oh, it's so dumb. Mm. Anyway, then Rianne has enough of Villanelle's bullshit and attacks her and has a little monologue about something. I did not write down what it was about.
I think the gist of it was like, or maybe just the part that I liked and remembered, was how that Rianne was like, you can have your crisis. That's good for me. Like, the bigger your crisis, the sooner I will get your place.
Mm-hmm. I think maybe Dasha would prefer working with her.
Yeah, definitely Rianne seems more like someone who is easier to manipulate.
Mm.
I don't think you can you can manipulate Villanelle, but yes, definitely not as easily.
I think you can easily manipulate her. It's just that she's more unpredictable and chaotic, so like, while you can manipulate her, it could just be that she does some random shit that's not good then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true. But of course, Villanelle is a way more skilled murderess than Rianne. So she overpowers Rianne and pushes her on the tracks. And then Rianne is just lying there, not getting up, even though the train is approaching. And that's going on for at least like 5-10 seconds, and yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, this wasn't one of the best written murders on this show, I would say.
Especially since before, I think a lot of people were at the train station, and then they went on the underground, and then there was when no the one. Next one comes, yeah, there's just no one, which is not how it works.
Mm.
Yeah. It's just badly written.
Yeah.
Let's move on. We then go on to a scene that is cringe to even describe. It's Carolyn and Geraldine sitting on a couch. No, we have to talk about it. And Geraldine is reading out this long letter,
explaining her emotions as if she has never done that before.
It's everything she's ever wanted to say.
It's everything Carolyn. She's been saying this whole season.
Yeah, it's true. And also, I will say that even though this episode, this scene is very cringe, I do appreciate it how cringe they can make Geraldine.
Yeah.
Even though we already heard all of this before.
Yeah.
But it's still like, I can barely listen to it.
But yeah, I also enjoy Carolyn in this scene. Like, she sucks, but like, I don't know, I love that she opens an empty notebook and then pretends to read, "Dear Geraldine, I think it's time you left." That was hilarious.
Yes. So I have a take.
Mm.
Is it a hot take?
Not really.
A lukewarm take?
A lukewarm take.
Okay.
I do think that this conflict that we have here, and I'm not sure if we had it in this exact way before, I don't think so, is kind of interesting. And I think that could have been like compelling in another show where we don't have Carolyn. And I'm just kind of confused about what's going on here, because we are suddenly, like before, the conflict was Geraldine wants to have this relationship and Carolyn doesn't. While now we suddenly have this, oh, Carolyn actually wants Geraldine to leave because she doesn't want Geraldine to waste her life on Carolyn or whatever. And it's I don't even know where I was going with this. I just want to talk about this part.
I agree that this could be like an intriguing dynamic in another show. Like, this is definitely the kind of stuff that I'm into with TV.
Aww.
But I think I have a problem with the fact that this show, like, I feel like really every scene has been the same. And also because we didn't know Geraldine before this season, like, she just arrives in this season out of nowhere. And then also, because it keeps on seeming like there's gonna be something else, like there's something mysterious, and then it's just this relationship stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I think this was the scene on my first watch of this season where, to me, it was finally like 100% clear that we're not gonna get anything more out of this. Mm. That there's no secret to be revealed about Geraldine's involvement with the 12 or something, and that this is just what it is, and it was super disappointing.
Like, is there something wrong with us that we were expecting something secretive to happen? No, right?
No.
No, no, no. They're setting it up like that. They're setting up everything like that and then just not delivering.
Yeah, I agree. So because I was over this scene, I was paying attention to other things. So I do want to comment because perhaps this is the last time we're spending in this house. I don't know why I would think that, but just...
Nea has insider info that Carolyn is moving yet again in the next season.
They just don't usually keep the same sets between seasons. I just want to comment why I hate this house so much. It's because they have wooden ceilings. And the wood is really dark, and it makes it look like the ceilings are super low. Like, you're just about to bump your head into the doorframe, and it just makes it, like...
No, you're correct. That's bad.
...look claustrophobic or something. And even though I talked a lot about how much I hated Carolyn's previous house, I do want to officially voice my opinion on this house, which is that it's... also bad.
Worse, come on, it's say worse. It's worse.
It's worse.
Ah, I have been vindicated.
And then another thing that happens in this scene is that it is revealed that Carolyn used to live in a kibbutz. For those not in the know, a kibbutz is a type of a communal living situation that exists in Israel. And first of all, cannot imagine Carolyn living in a kibbutz. Second of all, she phrases it as, I was an integral part of a kibbutz, which is hilarious because isn't it the point of a communal living situation that everyone's an integral part of it? Fuck you for thinking you're special. And then third of all, Geraldine says that Carolyn always brings this up when she doesn't want to have a real conversation, which is fun, and I want to know why we haven't heard about this before.
My last note on this scene is, Geraldine thinks Carolyn is hiding something, Carolyn wants her out, and then, in parentheses, same.
Both of those.
The problem with Geraldine as a character is that she is there just so that Carolyn had someone to talk to at home. Because Carolyn is such an important character, and we killed off Kenny, and now if she's just living alone, it would be hard to make scenes with her. And that's why they inserted Geraldine, and it's just... and it shows.
Yeah, she's just there to be used for this purpose. She has, like, no other personality traits or life of her own.
Yeah.
Let's go to Croydon, South London.
It's not even enough anymore to say that it's in London. We have to know that it's in South London.
And then specifically which place in South London.
So, we're with Eve. And Eve came to the place that was specified in this note that Villanelle gave her. And it's some place where you bet on horses, I guess. And she comes in there are like three people there, two people watching the races, and this lady who is accepting the bets. And I love this lady. That's my take. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Eve is trying to, she doesn't really know what the stuff on the note means. So she kind of tries to bet on, what was his name? Bruce. Mm-hmm. And this lady is just, what the fuck are you doing? Are you fucking with me? And Eve is just so funny in this scene because she attempts to bribe this lady, but it's unclear what for. Eve doesn't even know what she wants from this lady, and she's offering her like 100 quid to do what? What? Anyway, Eve is looking around this place trying to figure out what her next move is, and she finds a picture of some person named Bruce something on a wall and asks this lady who this person is, and she says, oh, it's the guy who owns this betting place. He's upstairs. And Eve is like, okay, I guess I want to meet with him. And when this lady calls this guy, Eve gives her a fake name made up of horse names. And it's...
it's Tallulah Shark.
It's Tallulah Shark.
Please try to think of a more fake name than that.
I don't think a faker name exists.
Yeah.
Honestly, if she said Jane Doe, it would have been more believable.
Oh, 100%, which says a lot.
Yeah. Anyway, she is, without any problems, led up to meet this guy who is some old man in a chair. And she says that she's there to make a collection. And he says that he is surprised that she doesn't look more like a stripper based on her stripper name that she gave. And then the guy is like, well, you have the code, so I can't exactly stop you from taking this thing out of the safe. And she does.
Indeed. On the other side of town, no, I have no idea where Bitterpill is. Surely we've been told, but I don't care. Somewhere in the UK, Carolyn comes to Bitterpill.
Oh yeah, she sure does. And she meets with the entire team of Bitterpill because they want her. They want to show her something. And this something... Okay.
Yep. No, I feel you 100%.
Before we get to that, let's postpone it a little. I love that Carolyn comments, Christ, it's worse than MI6 in here, which is what made me realize that the colors that they use for Bitterpill are actually similar to the colors they use for MI6. It's just a like muted tones of brown and gray and boring and kind of gross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Audrey offers her tea with the most meek expression of all time. And Carolyn says that she hates how this makes her feel like she's about to need tea. And yeah, this whole exchange with the Bitterpill team is pretty cute because the Bitterpill team can be pretty cute.
Yeah, I agree. It is cute. Like, they're all on their A game. I enjoy all of the characters. I don't enjoy what we find out, or at least that we are finding this out in episode 8 and not right after Kenny's death.
Yeah.
So I guess let's get to that.
Yeah, let's get to it. Okay, so what we find out. So first we get an explanation of what Fantastics are.
Finally, this late in...
Really? We didn't know before?
It was never explained. I think it was supposed to be like, okay. Oh yeah, you know the name. Like,
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we saw Bear eat it.
Yeah.
But anyway, Bear explains exactly what they are. And then he explains that because someone was stealing from him, he set up a camera in the Bitterpill offices to find out who was stealing it. And up to this point, he did not think, apparently, to check this camera for the day when Kenny died.
He forgot about this camera.
Because no one was stealing from him anymore.
Yeah.
And also the camera just kept recording for months and never ran out of batteries.
Yeah. None of this makes sense. It's just so stupid. But anyway, when he did finally decide to see what the camera recorded on that day, I guess he wasn't even checking for Kenny's death day, but instead he was just looking at all of it to see who stole the candy or something. I don't know.
Yeah, and then he saw Kenny stealing his candy and then he was like, right, Kenny, I remember Kenny.
Yeah, he died, right? Yeah, yeah, or something happened to him.
Anyway, so what they saw on this camera now, weeks after Kenny's death, is that Constantine was in the building when Kenny died.
First of all, I love that they think it's relevant to show Carolyn that Kenny was stealing candy.
Yes. And then she should know him as a full person.
Yeah. And then I have a note which is how I feel about this whole season and has been relevant at multiple points during our recording today already, which is that this whole thing feels like they started the season with no idea what the plot will be. Mm-hmm. They just set things up and they kept setting things up and they set them up well, like they made them seem interesting. And then it seems like they were like, oh, so we have to write episode 6. We have to decide how this plot point gets resolved, and we only have 2 minutes to decide. And that's how they resolved every single plot point of this whole season.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. Anyway, yeah, that's what we find out. And then we go back to Eve, who runs into Constantine, who also decided to go to this place to try to pick up the package. And when they meet, Constantine obviously wants to get this package from Eve because it is his, but Eve will not give it to him because Villanelle did not say so, which I think is cute.
You gotta listen to her girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah. And Constantine is trying to make it seem like, oh, actually, this package is totally not worth anything. Mm-hmm. It's just for Irina.
Always the excuse.
Yeah. And then he says, just look at it. See, it's just a matryoshka made up of Russian leaders.
Which is a fun gift.
Yeah. And obviously, Eve does not buy this at all. I don't even know why Constantine tried.
Do you think Irina would prefer this as a gift or the double-decker magnet that he gives Geraldine to spy?
Oh, this, definitely.
This, unless the magnet, like, included the camera, in which case, or the recording device, in which case I think she would have preferred that.
But in that case, maybe this would have included the barcode for the money and the passports.
That's true.
All
that's
the toiletries.
But I feel like that matters less to a kid who already has everything. I don't know.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
But yes, as you said, so the thing with this matryoshka is that it has a barcode that it opens another safety deposit box with. All those things,
And I want to note that in this scene, Eve is having fun. And I liked that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I guess Constantine has another small heart attack.
I really thought he was faking it to, like, get the thing and run away, but I guess that was not what happened.
Yeah, no, it actually wasn't. He was actually having a small heart attack. And I think it's cute that
he was having a small heart attack?
No. That Eve would never give this thing to Constantine, and she would probably kill him if she had to, but at the same time, when she doesn't have to, she kind of does care about him. Mm. You know, she as soon as she sees that this is happening to him, she's like, oh my god, are you okay? Let's do something so that you'll feel better. I like that.
Yeah, it was nice.
Anyway, back at Bitter Pill, someone else comes to visit.
Yes, they are getting lots of visitors today.
Yep. It's Villanelle. She comes in, is greeted by Audrey, who at this point does not know who this is. Mm-hmm. Because I guess Eve never showed them a picture of Villanelle for some reason. Anyway, I mean, honestly, I can buy that. Yeah, it makes sense. And Villanelle says that she's here for Eve. I don't know why she came for Bitterpill for that, but okay. Because
that's where Eve works.
She just assumed that Eve would sooner or later get there, I guess.
She was there for most of the season.
Yeah. And when she learns that Eve is not there, she says that she will just wait and then wanders around a bit while Audrey is tailing her and points at a murderer and says, "This wasn't me, I swear." At which point Audrey realizes who this is and goes to the other two team members and starts fangirling, basically.
Anyway, they do like a fun staring contest. The Bitterpill team and Villanelle staring one at another. It's fun. And then Villanelle gets a call from Constantine, and Eve is there as well, of course.
Yes, Constantine is trying to convince Villanelle to tell Eve that Eve should give the package to Constantine. But Villanelle is not doing that.
She is having such a great time here.
She yells at the phone, "Eve, I'm at your workplace. Yeah. Everyone's being really weird."
It's so cute. It's so cute.
And then Constantine convinces Villanelle to join him and Eve so they can talk it out. So Villanelle is about to leave, but first she walks up to the Bitterpill team to give them some more fun content to talk about. So she talks about the penises that Bear previously mentioned and then leaves.
She, like, yes, says some cryptic things about what she does with the penises that she chops off, and then she just, like, bursts and says, "This has been great, guys!" And yeah, scares all of them. I don't know. I love her energy in this scene. It's wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then we see Paul. And Paul is calling Constantine and telling him that he knows that Constantine stole the money from the 12. And he wants Constantine to come over to his place because there is a gun pointed at his head.
I mean, that's not what Paul says, but...
That's what we see.
Yes.
That's what we see.
And Constantine says there has been a change of plans and that he has to go and Eve is coming with him. Well, he doesn't say that Eve is coming with him. Eve says that she is coming with him.
Yeah, because that's just how Eve is.
Exactly.
Yeah. So now we are at Paul's house.
I'm sad that we didn't get to see Eve's and Constantine's travel to Paul's house because... As I recall, them in a car together is a fun time.
Yeah. I think all time that Eve and Constantine spent together is a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we get more of that in the next season. I'm not holding my breath, but it would be great. So we are at Paul's house and the person holding a gun on him is actually Carolyn. Because she knows he's working for the 12 and she knows that he... Well, she assumes that he had Mo killed, and also she wants Constantine to come over because she is angry because Constantine killed Kenny.
And when Eve and Carolyn see each other, they are both surprised that the other one is there. And Carolyn asks Eve what she's doing there, and
Eve says, "I'm helping Villanelle."
And Carolyn's like, "Of course you are."
I'm surprised she's not with... And then there's a doorbell, and it's Villanelle.
Yeah.
And then we get one of the more fun scenes of this season.
Yes, it's so great. Like, Carolyn is menacing, Constantine and Paul are scared, and Villanelle and Eve are like two children at the movies, like eating popcorn and just being like excited about what's happening around them.
And they all bicker among each other, and Carolyn keeps having to yell at everyone to shut up, and it's such a chaotic energy, and it's so fun.
The 12 would have loved it. Sorry.
Yeah. They're discussing who knows who in their shared workplace. There is some talk about Hélène. I don't remember the exact context, but something about how everyone knows Hélène or not. Anyway, Paul is trying to convince Carolyn that he is a double agent, not actually working for the 12.
Sure, Paul.
And then Carolyn wants to know about what Constantine was doing there when Kenny died. And Constantine says that he was trying to get Kenny to work for the 12, because if he didn't do that, then the 12 would kill him because he was getting in on their thingy thing.
Yeah, before this, Constantine kind of questions Carolyn if Carolyn knows how to use a gun, which... What?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to comment on as well. Like, both of the dudes are underestimating Carolyn in this scene, which is just wild to me.
Because they know Carolyn very well.
Yeah, and Constantine says, please give that gun to me. Like, is that... I can't tell if that's just, like, wildly out of character, or if that's just, like, how men really get in a panic. They're just, like, I don't know, man.
How do I solve this? Sexism, maybe?
Yeah, also, everyone is surprised that Dasha is dead, which is also wild, because everyone thought that they killed Dasha, so, like...
What a show.
But okay, back to the plot.
That I'm also not very happy with.
No, of course not. Constantine tries to convince us that Kenny accidentally fell off the roof. And I really hope that that's not like something we're supposed to genuinely even consider. Because first of all, that roof has a very tall, not fence, but like... You know when Eve throws the cake off?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a wall up to her middle. So that's one thing. And then also Kenny fell on his face. So I don't know, man.
I don't know. Because I also don't like the idea of Constantine killing him. That doesn't make sense to me. Like, I don't get it. Why? But also, this doesn't make sense, so just... Yeah. What an unsatisfying conclusion.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, also because Constantine never killed anyone up to this point. That's just not his job.
Yeah, like Villanelle says, Constantine doesn't kill anyone, he gets other people to kill for him.
I hope there's just like a third explanation that the writers decided that we don't even need to know the truth.
I mean, I kind of hope that we find out the actual truth in the next season or something, but also I hate that because I think stuff like that should be concluded in a season. But it is the kind of thing that this show has done before.
Well, but also what this show has done is consistently give us very unsatisfying answers to questions, so even if we get a third answer, I wouldn't
count on it being good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we do get this little scene of Eve and Villanelle sitting on a couch and asking each other if they know what's going on, and just like us, they are very confused.
That's true, that's true. That really like saves the whole thing.
Yeah. So yeah, then Caroline tells Constantine to go on his knees. And they have a little conversation about how Constantine used to love Caroline, which I believe it. And Caroline is apparently upset because she thinks that he's going to bring that up in order to try to get out of this predicament. And I guess this is fine. And she's holding a gun to his head and being slightly emotional.
And he looks very scared.
And I love how Constantine... some moment just start screaming, Villanelle, do something!
Right!
It's good.
I also love her face, like, reaction to it. Like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah, I did enjoy him begging for his life. And then Caroline decides to, after all, not kill Constantine, because she does care about him, I guess, and shoots Paul as a different option here.
She was just like, I guess I gotta kill someone.
Yeah.
I guess I gotta bury a gay.
Yep.
And she tells Constantine to get out before she changes her mind. And Constantine just takes the longest time to get out.
Yeah, because as soon as she's not pointing a gun at him, he's back to his old self, like, immediately. Yeah.
And he asks Villanelle if she's coming, and she says no, because he's not family.
Yeah, why the sudden change of opinion? Is it because he killed Kenny? Why would she care?
No, it's because she became family with Eve.
Yeah. So, maybe this is not the best time to talk about it, but at the same time, when are we going to? I just feel in this episode, at the same time, I did really enjoy even Villanelle scenes. I love the romance. I love the sudden end of no homoism. But definitely it was a bit, I don't want to say out of the blue, but they should have done a better transition through this particular season.
I agree. It wasn't out of the blue, but it was abrupt.
Yeah, yeah. Up to the last episode, we were still seeing Eve being all, oh, what? People think that I'm in love with Villanelle. This is so strange. And now we are suddenly already in this place where she is into it. I mean, she is like openly admitting it, at least to herself. And it just should have been a better, a more gradual thing, I think.
I agree. And also coming from like not seeing each other to like seeing each other for a second in the previous episode and then to this episode just like dancing together and then like being a couple, basically, it was, I don't know, could have happened in like one episode more.
Yeah,
I agree.
I mean, I guess this isn't new. I think that Eve was always more important to her than Constantine if as soon as Eve wants to be with her. So it's not that I don't buy that she wants to stay with Eve.
I agree.
It's just that it should have been done slightly differently.
Eve like frantically wants to know why Carolyn killed Paul, and Carolyn is like going on about how she's responsible for Kenny's death and that one cannot destroy the 12.
Also, because Eve supposedly cares about the fact that Paul had info on the 12, yeah. And Eve is still pretending that she cares about the 12.
Yes, yes. Eve has always cared about the 12. Nothing to do with Villanelle.
Totally.
And then Carolyn says, maybe it's time you went cold turkey. And Eve is confused and Villanelle is like, ah, yes, I get it.
And Eve is like, what do you mean? And Carolyn is like, you know precisely what I mean, which is wild because I have no idea what she means.
Oh, for me, yeah. It's like, you gotta break up with Villanelle. But I don't understand why this is coming at this moment, and I don't understand why Villanelle is so understanding of it.
Anyway, Eve decides to be offended by this and leaves. And Villanelle comments that she likes turkey and then follows after her.
Or trots along after her, as Carolyn suggests.
And then Carolyn calls Hugh, who is a person that I remember her calling when there's a mess to clean up, but I don't think we've ever met Hugh. And she's like, oh yeah, it was a suicide, yes. Which, as we know, when someone is shot in the forehead, it's always a suicide. And then yep. She's like, yeah, yeah, 5 minutes, cool. And I guess Hugh will come clean up after her.
Which just means that Hugh was knew ahead of time that Paul is gonna die. Like, specifically Paul. Which is strange.
I don't think that necessarily means that. But I kind of like the idea of like, yes, Paul will die and then you will be called when he dies and informed on how it happened.
Yeah. Ugh, plot.
Yeah, yeah, let's go to the bridge.
Let's go to the bridge. So we are at the bridge and Villanelle and Eve are having a heart-to-heart about killing Dasha. So they're talking a bit about how they both think they killed Dasha. And then Villanelle says that this is romantic. Mm-hmm. And then Eve says, do you know who's the only people who would think that? Us.
But also me.
Yes, yes. But also everyone invested in your relationship. Yeah. Eve. Then
Villanelle, of course, again, mentions how she does not want to do any of it anymore. We just gotta bring that home, so there's that. And then they talk about being normal and stuff. Because Eve thinks that she used to be normal, or like she says, like them. And Villanelle thinks she was never like them. And Eve comments, I had a life. I had a husband and a house and a chicken. So remember the chicken, guys?
We
saw once?
Butt egg.
We decided when we were talking about that episode that they must have been just pet sitting that chicken, because there's no way they owned it. Well, turns out it was their chicken the whole time. What do you think is happening now to the chicken? Where is the chicken now?
In chicken heaven, probably.
In the farm of state. So then they talk about their future, because in a previous scene they talked about how they think about the past, so now they have to talk about how they think about the future. And we find out that when Eve thinks about her future, she only sees Villanelle's face.
Chill.
This is so...
platonic?
Yeah.
I like it. It's good.
Yeah.
And then Villanelle asks Eve if she thinks that she's a monster. And Eve says that Villanelle is a lot of things. And that maybe a part of her is a monster. But also every person has a little monster inside of them.
And Villanelle says, I think my monster encourages your monster. And Eve responds, I think I wanted it to.
Little monster things.
And then Eve changes her mind and decides she wants it to stop and asks Villanelle to help her make it stop.
Which is totally not in line with what was just happening, but to be fair, it's just a setup for another romantic scene, so we'll
take it.
We'll accept it.
Yeah, and Villanelle also accepts it and says that they should stand up, and they look at each other, and you can see the height difference, which is very cute.
Mm-hmm.
And then Villanelle tells them both to turn around, and they do. And then they, like, rest their heads on each other's heads a little bit, and it's the best.
Yeah, and I think Eve, like, gets a bit teary-eyed, and they breathe.
And Villanelle says that now they should walk away and not look back. And they try and they walk.
Well, Villanelle walks and Eve stands for a bit, but then she walks as well.
And then after they walk the exact same distance, they stop and they both turn around and look at each other. The end!
The end.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Uti. This episode had 3 outfits, which is more than the average for the last episode of the season. So I like it.
Huh.
So the first one is in Albert Hall. Villanelle is wearing a floor-length gray plaid wool coat, but it has like pink puffy sequiny lapels that look like something died on it, to be fair.
I love it. I think it's very fun. I would wear that.
Underneath this, she's wearing a beige pullover with a collar that has, you know, those fluffy ends, as if you didn't hem it totally. And she is wearing her hair in a bun and white pants with black stripes underneath all of this.
Mm.
Nice.
Very nice. The second one is the outfit at the dance place. So as I already mentioned, this is a suit with a rainbow pattern.
Ugh, Villanelle and her suits.
Yeah, but the colors are all reds and blues and a bit of orange. So it's not rainbow colors, but it is rainbows. Her hair is down. And she is wearing black shoes with a chunky heel that we see very well when she is heel walking at the station. And for the last outfit, when she visits Bitterpill, she is wearing a yellow oversized coat with a big bow at the front. And she is wearing black tights and black ankle boots with all of that. And her hair is in a bun again.
And this coat kind of looks like a dress, and I really like that.
Mm.
I love the coat. Yes, these are her three outfits. What's your favorite?
I really, really like all three. Mm-hmm. They're all very good. Mm-hmm. But the suit is, I'm pretty sure, one of the top three outfits of the whole show for me. So, of course, my choice is the suit.
It's definitely like one of the iconic outfits of this show.
Does that mean it's your favorite too?
No, mine is actually the coat dress thing. I think it's so gorgeous.
It's so gorgeous that you like it better than the suit.
It's so gorgeous that I like it better than the suit, yeah.
Strong.
It's very strong. And I also prefer her hair with this outfit. Mm-hmm. So that also played a role in my decision.
I am also going to choose the yellow coat.
Wow, unexpected.
For several reasons. One, I love the color of this coat. Mm. And I personally, I don't often wear yellow, but I think it looks really good on me. So I wish I wore more yellow. So I would wear this coat. And although I do really like the suit, it does remind me a lot of the Berlin one. Mm-hmm. So it didn't, you know, stand out enough. Mm-hmm.
Especially because that one was better.
So even though I really, really like the suit, I just think that the coat is more my style, let's say. Mm. But I will say that overall, especially in this episode, really the costuming was so good.
I agree, yeah.
So good job, costuming people.
Yeah, I agree. From what I recall, those are pretty common. Like, there are many, I've seen them, and there are many different kinds. I mean, with the same leaders, but just with a different style of drawing and stuff. And I enjoy them.
Would you get
one? I think I, or at least my dad had one. I think there is one at my parents' place.
Oh my god. Please find it and take a photo, post it on Instagram.
I will. Okay. I can also post one that I made where I put photos. I like taped photos of my family members. And in a way, that doesn't even make sense because I put, like, family members from my dad's side and my mom's side. And the biggest one was my grandma, and then it was my dad, and then it was my mom, and then it was my cousin, and then it was me.
Wow.
Anyway, that's it for the Russian Corner.
Cool. So should we rate this episode?
So I have a rating that is an album that I have no reason to think it's really queer, but I also have no definite proof that it's not queer, and it just gives me queer vibes, so I'm gonna allow it. It's the album Titanic Rising by Wise Blood, and I choose it because it feels as dramatic and romantic as this episode does.
My rating is also musical.
I think you mentioned the last time how much you like it when we choose music, and now we thought about music.
Yes, I think that's true. I choose the song Temptation Waits by the band Garbage, which also, like, could have been like, this is not queer, even though, like, a lot of their music is very, like, queer-coded and, like, pro-LGBT stuff. But also recently, like, the reason why I thought of this was because recently Shirley Manson, the singer of Garbage, said something about, like, identifying as non-binary. And that was very fun for me to hear that about a band that I listened to when I was a child. Anyway, just some lyrics that made me think of this episode are, I'll tell you something, I am a wolf, but I like to wear sheep's clothing. But also, there is some stuff of like, you come on like a drug, I just can't get enough, I'm like an addict coming to you for a little more, which also is their relationship. I like this song much more than I like this episode, I'm gonna say. Like, I did not choose this song so much for how I feel about it, I think, this time. But I think it's like, I like the dramatic parts and the aesthetic parts, but just I was annoyed and bored with a lot of it.
My rating is the YouTube series Carmilla. Because I am thinking purely of Villanelle and Eve's plot here, because it's very romantic, but also Eve and Villanelle were such dumbasses together in this episode. And that's all that you need to know about Carmilla.
Yeah, fair. Good.
So the game for this episode is, what gift would you give Irina?
Like a coupon for therapy.
Damn it, I was gonna say that.
Sorry. It's the correct answer, I guess.
Yeah. We're done.
Yes, that's it.
Can I say a genuine one?
Yes.
As a gift, I would make sure that the 12 would fire Constantine so that he would be able to spend more of his time with Irina.
That's nice. I think that would go very well with my gift.
Yes. Great combo.
Very wholesome.
I didn't go into the wholesome direction.
Cool, we need some diversity.
So I just thought of what would make this asshole feel happy. And I think I would like sign her up for some competition that I knew she could win. And
like,
I think,
what? Like what?
Like language related or underage driving.
Yes, yeah. Those competitions that we have.
Awesome. I think Irina would be happy to have us as friends.
I don't.
I think she would hate us, but sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But she would benefit from our guidance and
I would like to hope
gift-giving abilities.
Not from mine, but from yours.
We did it.
This is it.
We have come to the end of this season.
Thank you, dear listener, for listening to this episode of Querying Eve. We will record another one. Have a nice week, and remember, you were trained to look devastating.
Was there any lesbian sex on this season?
I guess dancing. But
No.
Dancing is lovemaking, not sex.
Yeah, yeah.
I will murder you.